Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Hey there, guys. The Hawks bowl game has been announced. They're going to be playing Missouri down in Nashville for the Music City Bowl. And this could be your chance to watch the Hawks play football in person for the first time all season. The stadium, they're letting in, I think it said 14,000 fans. And one of those fans could be you and your group of friends. Here's an opportunity, if that is you, if you've been considering, hey, maybe we'll go to the game. We have a chance to watch the Hawks play for the only time in 2020. Let's take advantage. Well, our friends at LandJet are going to take you down to the game in style. You guys got to check these guys out. LandJet.com. They're an Iowa-started company. They've expanded into a couple Midwest cities, and they are the perfect opportunity in these COVID times. You know, we're in peak COVID season now. They're going to take you down in their vehicles. It's a affordable, chauffeured, private ground transportation service. Again, check out their website. These vehicles, they're insane. It's literally like flying in a jet on land. They have amenities such as free Wi-Fi, TV, luggage space, refrigerator, tons of room to hang out, relax with friends, and just chill while you are chauffeured down to Nashville to watch the Hawks play. Walk-on listeners are going to get a 10% discount on their trip by using the code WALKONS, W-A-L-K-O-N-S, when you go to their website, LandJet.com, and request a quote. It's going to depend, pricing's going to depend on how many people you're taking, what vehicle you'd like to take. Again, that's code WALKONS, W-A-L-K-O-N-S, when you go to LandJet.com and request a quote. Or you can contact them at an email, sales@LandJet.com. Please go check it out, guys. If you're considering going to the game, this is an incredible opportunity. Please go to their website, LandJet.com, and check it out now. Code WALKONS. What's up, Wash Up WALKONS fans? We're here for another episode, the holiday special, where we talk about Christmas songs, Christmas movies, favorite Christmas traditions. This turned into one of my personal top five favorite episodes. We clown Josie about 10 minutes in. He's a Christmas baby, and there's a bunch of other funny parts, too. We're so happy you're here. Happy holidays to everybody. Let's have a day. Let's go. Oh, baby, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
It's cold outside. I gotta go away. Baby, it's
Frank Sinatra,
outside.
Brother.
This evening has been. I'm hoping that you
drive. I'm not going to lie.
Hold your hand. Yep.
This might not be politically correct. I might get in trouble for this. Lady's voice kind of turns me on.
I don't think that's, I mean, that's a real thing. I mean, what makes you turn on and off? I don't think that's not political. No one can say that's not politically correct. I mean,
Her voice is too sweet, you know?
Baby, It's Cold Outside. They tried to cancel that song last year.
It's a little rapey.
You know, and now when you have the whole, when you have, you know, consent, when you have consent on your mind as you listen to the song, it does get a little bit, you know, let's play a little bit more.
Beautiful, what's your My father hurry? Will be pacing the floor. Listen to that fireplace roar. Really had better scurry. Beautiful, please don't hurry. Maybe just a soda pop.
This is like a kid's version.
Oh, see, nope. No longer rapey. No longer rapey. She said, but maybe just a soda pop more.
Now, she is talking about how her dad's going to be worried and that she should probably go. And he's like, but you don't need to really go.
Did they have phones back when Frank Sinatra was around?
No.
They didn't even have a telephone?
I mean, they probably had it.
Telephones, you goon. Okay, how old is
exactly.
Frank Sinatra?
I thought he said cell phones. I mean, they had phones.
Idea. Exactly. So she could have telephoned her father and said, hey, I'm with Frank tonight.
Now,
how do you think her father back in the 1940s would have received that message?
It was Frank Sinatra, dude. That's like telling him she wants to bang Elvis. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there's another one that's like, she's like, what's in this drink?
Oh,
uh-oh. You know, we're going old Cliff Huxtable in this.
Hey,
show.
Listen,
we're going
but
Bill
it was the
Cosby
40s,
action.
Man. Back in the 40s, they might have still been putting cocaine in their Coca-Cola. So.
I mean, that was real. I have a really funny parody of this song last year when it did get canceled on YouTube. I'm going to play in a second. But, hey, welcome in to the 174 Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Christmas special, baby. And we're going to talk Christmas. We're going to talk holidays. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? I can't wait to get into it. But welcome in. You thought the Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, the Walk-On Army, the true Walk-On Army probably knew we were going to have an episode. But some of you were like, I don't know. It's Christmas. People are taking work off.
You silly fools. You fools. You silly fools.
Little silly gooses, because we're here and we're doing an episode. It might be 20, 30 minutes. We're going to talk a little Christmas. First off, let's listen to this one right here. Now this, of course, we have to go through the ad on YouTube first. God damn advertising.
I really can't stay. Okay, you're free to go. I've got to go away. Understood, no means no. This evening has been super appropriate. So very nice. But I do understand consent.
My mom will start to worry.
Definitely text her right now.
My father will be pacing the floor.
Here's the code and there is the
so
door.
Really,
I'm gonna stand over
well,
here.
Maybe just a half a drink
you
more.
Are in control. This
the
thing. Invite them over if you like.
Say, what's in this drink?
Nothing but Sprite.
I wish I knew how
right out
to
the door.
Break the spell.
I do know.
This is the KF Christmas special, right?
I hear you loud and clear.
At least I'm gonna say that I try.
I'm trying super
I really
hard.
Can't stay.
Please just go out, baby. Just go outside.
Isn't that great?
Tell me that's not the head coach's
dude.
Christmas
that's
song.
100%.
Yeah,
dude. That's what they should play in the freaking in the consent meetings or whatever those meetings were that we would bring in, like the first year player meetings. It's like, all right, yep. Guys. Here's the deal.
Let's teach you how to receive no and let it mean no.
Like they should let us. They should let this should be consent and etiquette with females 101 presented by the Washed Up Walk-Ons, the freshman players meeting. We play this video and we say, hey guys, here's the deal. We lay it out on them. All right. There's a lot of ladies here on campus. And this is essentially what they said to us when we got there. All right. They weren't bullshitting. All right. And they knew the deal. All right. And if it's right or wrong, that's not for me to decide, people. But when you're a Division I football player, you're a big beefy guy. All right. You got guys walking around like Ike and Josie and Bo, just absolute stallions. Not us three for sure.
No.
Although there are some stories. You got guys walking around like Josie Jewell. You know, ladies, they tend to flock.
Listen, dude. Listen, dude, I'm going to embarrass myself here for
the Christmas goose, man.
I'm going to embarrass myself here for a second and say that I may have had a lady over at the house for the first time.
Are you talking like right now or when we were in college?
No. We were in college back when I lived at Benton.
Well, let's just remember the song we just listened to and the consent. Let's just keep that in mind.
She did not know who my roommates were.
Mm. And then she found out and you didn't.
Josie walked down the steps not wearing that many, you know, shorts, probably no shirt.
How we always did.
Turns the corner and her jaw drops to the floor. And she's like, is that Josie Jewell?
Naked?
And I looked at her, I was like, don't ever make that face in my house again.
Dude, so funny. So funny. I think there was, I can't say that that was probably the only time on some kind of level that that happened. There were multiple, I don't know. It's just like, I mean, let's be honest. Like, you're plastered all over social media.
You'd see it at the bars all the time. Like,
all the time.
Some sophomore or freshman comes over to the table with like maybe some little lady he was talking to, and then that little lady all of a sudden start talking to somebody else, like the CJ Bethards of the world.
just so happens that somebody else would always seem to be the guys that were really good at football.
Good at football.
Now, what is it? What is it about this? Why does this happen? Why is this a thing? It's just why is jersey chasing a thing? You know,
I think it's fun, dude.
It's like, hey, man.
Think about it from a guy's perspective. If we were to go on campus and
it's like a trophy.
And there was a volleyball team full of tens that also had the potential to make millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah,
like. Imagine how fun that pursuit would be if you also knew that it was like reasonably possible.
I think it's the attraction to success, right? It's like, you know, these people, like, you know, we're all the same age, but these guys on the football team, they've done something with their life already. You know, I'm just an 18-year-old girl on campus. I'm just trying to have a nice little innocent college time. But then there's these guys that, you know, there might be a financial incentive. On some people's part. It's true though. Like even like when we went out, very limited times for myself personally, but even as when we would go out, like the people we would hang out with, oftentimes they're like also athletes, guys or girls. It's like you hang out with people that kind of run, like, you know, they're the most successful people. They're more popular people. I don't know. But that Josie story is killer, bro. I love that.
It really happened. That's 100% the truth.
She spent the night with Josie. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Mick was out of town.
Josie was wifed up all of college. That never happened. Josie wouldn't know what to do with a random girl if he got one.
He would be so awkward.
Dude, he's
like,
too...
He's like, you want to watch film? I gotta do questions for Coach Wallace.
Hey, can you grab my notebook and write down? Can you write down these formations for me?
Tell them they're in troop four. This is troop four.
Hey,
zone read.
Hey, cover two. I still have a funny ass video of Bo.
Do you want to watch some fishing videos?
Hey girl.
Fishing videos.
Hey girl, you ever went bow fishing?
Go over and grab my tackle box.
What
do you think about this spin caster? Should I buy it?
I just bought this new night lamp. It's got 700 lumens.
Yeah,
hey, you know,
You know our family.
Waiters, you think I should buy these waiters?
Hey, you know our family farm. We got 18,000 turkeys. Like turkey, you like turkey,
dude. We gotta stop killing Josie. Oh! He's gonna go off.
Oh,
hey Josie, when you listen to this, man, Merry Christmas.
Hey, and you know what? It fits perfectly too, because Josie's birthday is on Christmas Day. Everybody, you're listening. This comes out on Christmas Eve, the 24th. If you're listening to this on that Twitter day, wish him a happy birthday, early birthday, or wait a day and wish him a Merry Christmas, happy birthday, because
we called him Jesus. He is Jesus.
He's the second coming.
He's pretty damn good at football.
Wow.
He was born on Christmas.
I'm fucking crying, dude. That was incredible. That's maybe. Now, here's the deal, fans. If you didn't like that segment right there, that Blast Josie segment,
then you don't like our podcast.
Leave the podcast, dude, because that's all we've got. I have no better comedy inside of me than that right there.
So what was better, Kluver, me and you on Brady or us three on Josie?
I don't know, but in the last couple weeks we've got some good stuff and I cannot wait. Josie listens to the pod and he's gonna hear that.
He has to, especially because you've got to clip that one.
I'll clip that and put it on Twitter. God, that was good.
Put it on Instagram too, because I don't have Twitter anymore.
I will. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hopefully we got a little laugh out of you there. We're gonna do a couple things. Pat Anger on Twitter, first of all. I just switched over to Twitter to find this question. Pat tweeted 4 minutes ago, every weekend it's, did I lose my taste because I have COVID or because I ate the pizza rolls before they cooled down and burnt my mouth? He's so fat, dude. He's so fat. And he's coming back on the podcast this spring. He promised Drake and I. That should be fun. Ready for that one. Before we get into some Christmas questions, a bowl prep question, which is still holiday related. Typically, bowl prep is where we hear as fans about the big jumps, the big periods of time where players make up a ton of ground, right? They kind of, it's that time for the young guys to get reps and they start to make some strides. The question is, what are some of the examples that we saw during our time? What are guys who made that kind of jump? And who do you think in the current group could emerge as some of those people into the two deeps? And do you think that this is also almost like a spring ball for Petrus and crew? I think that's a great question. First of all,
one's a great question.
You are correct. The coaches always hyped up the spring ball period and the bowl prep period as times where I don't know what it is, but there's opportunity to get vastly better. First of all, when I said bowl prep, I quickly got a half second flash of PTSD from 2014 bowl prep and 2-a-days. Wow.
I was actually about to mention that particular camp because
okay,
of
Kev,
that.
I know. I didn't, I know Kev, I know, but I still
don't
had
make
to
me say it.
Dude, I had to still be at the facility, bro. I had to witness it all. I didn't take the physical beating, but the schedule and just having to have to just be in a football mode, it still took a little bit of a toll, man.
I wasn't even going to be an asshole about it. I was just going to bring that one up in particular because I thought it pertained quite a bit to the question.
It does.
And I think Kluver, you could attest to this because you were watching practice from a much different perspective. I was probably going to earn myself a little bit of playing time in that bowl game from that camp 2.0, except for then I snapped my neck in half. But that's neither here nor there.
Kev, speak your piece.
All I'm going to say is I don't want to hear you complain about doubles.
Bro.
But.
Hey, camp. Go ahead, Jeff.
I will admit you had to be there, and I'm sorry if your knees got tired from taking a knee on the ground.
Dude, I got a lot. I had to brush off a lot of rubber turf off of my patella. Dude, there was so much kneeling. I was basically I am equivalent to the cameras that were set up in the towers. That's all I was. I was an extra camera. I was a piece of equipment. That's what I was. To the Iowa football team and the Iowa football.
We were all a piece of equipment to some extent.
Dude, I was just part of the equipment. They rolled me out early. I was always out to practice early with the camera crew. I was a hybrid manager, water girl, and cameraman, dude. That's what I was. / trainer. I taped my own wrists for no fucking reason other than to look cool. I mean, that's what I was. Merry Christmas, dude. Merry Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas. You're as good as the bottle of Gatorade. That's what you are.
Hey, but tell me camp 2-a-days weren't great because we got to go back to the hotel.
Dude, that midday nap hits harder than anything. Keep that room at about 48 degrees. Keep that room icy cold like Hillcrest N320 was in 2013. And you just come back, you walk into that room, it's dark. You never open the shades in the room, so it's just pitch black. You pass out. And then next thing you know, hey, guess what? Ding, ding, ding. Afternoon practice. Get in the vans, baby. Murph is driving us back to practice. Hope he doesn't crash the van. Freaking Murph. Unbelievable. Bull prep is a huge time, okay? And here's why. The seniors / older guys / guys who are playing a bunch of reps, right? In a normal year, even this year, you know, 8 straight weeks of playing. Not really a bull prep this year either. It's like a week and a half. By the way, if you listen to the Monday episode, we're in the mayonnaise ejaculation bowl or whatever bowl we could be going to. It may have been announced at this point in between these two podcasts. That's next week. Like that's the 30th is next Wednesday, like 10 days from now. So it's going to come up real fast. Here's why. So all those guys who have been playing, and you guys can actually talk about this because you took the physical toll on your bodies. It's a long season, dude. So now that little 2-3 week, maybe 4 week period, it's a time for the guys who play a bunch to rest their bodies, to get treatment, you know, get a little bit of juice back that they had in the early season so that they can play and ball out in this bowl game. And when they're taking rest on the sideline, well, guess what? Young buck, it's your turn. Go in and give us all you got. And so you guys can talk about it, but it's just a huge developmental period where the young guys get a shitload of reps. Hey there, guys. The Hawks bowl game has been announced. They're going to be playing Missouri down in Nashville for the Music City Bowl. And this could be your chance to watch the Hawks play football in person for the first time all season. The stadium, they're letting in, I think it said 14,000 fans. And one of those fans could be you and your group of friends. Here's an opportunity, if that is you, if you've been considering, hey, maybe we'll go to the game. We have a chance to watch the Hawks play for the only time in 2020. Let's take advantage. Well, our friends at LandJet are going to take you down to the game in style. You guys got to check these guys out. LandJet.com. They're an Iowa-started company. They've expanded into a couple Midwest cities, and they are the perfect opportunity in these COVID times. You know, we're in peak COVID season now. They're going to take you down in their vehicles. It's a affordable, chauffeured, private ground transportation service. Again, check out their website. These vehicles, they're insane. It's literally like flying in a jet on land. They have amenities such as free Wi-Fi, TV, luggage space, refrigerator, tons of room to hang out, relax with friends, and just chill while you are chauffeured down to Nashville to watch the Hawks play. Walk-on listeners are going to get a 10% discount on their trip by using the code WALKONS, WALKONS. When you go to their website, landjet.com, and request a quote, it's going to depend. Pricing is going to depend on how many people you're taking, what vehicle you'd like to take. Again, that's code WALKONS, WALKONS, when you go to landjet.com and request a quote. Or you can contact them at an email, sales@landjet.com. Please go check it out, guys. If you're considering going to the game, this is an incredible opportunity. Please go to their website, landjet.com, and check it out now. Code WALKONS.
Hey guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know that we are sponsored by Indeed. Yes, 2020 has already changed so many things in the way that we work, and businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient every day, which means that every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. It's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
Exactly it. You know, the starters don't take a whole lot of reps. I will say, like, younger starters, like maybe if you're a first-year starter, you're still going to get – you still might get beat up a little bit, especially if you're not, you know, locked in at position. Say there's good competition there. But, yeah, if you're like a third-year starter, senior, like, I don't think Josie practiced at all during bowl prep. Yeah, my senior bowl prep, I was on partial retirement. I joked with Coach Ball, like, I'm like,
you had already given your 2 weeks.
I feel like I'm the horse with a broken ankle, and you're leaving me out the pasture these 2 weeks.
That's what it was.
Going to take a shotgun to the back of my head. Yeah,
that's exactly how my senior year. Go ahead, Kev. Finish up. I thought you were done.
No, I took 2 reps of blocks, 2 reps of 9-on-7. And I was done for the day. That was it.
God damn, that's incredible. Yeah,
that's exactly how I felt as well, because I no longer even had to perform well on my reps. Like, if I didn't, I just shrugged my shoulders. Like, who cares, Brian? It's the last one. And then I also got to play tailback on a play where they pitched me the ball, and then I threw it.
I remember
so
that.
That's how my senior year bowl prep went. And we never ran that play, obviously, because it was never going to get called. And it certainly was never going to get called on that in that stadium. But it
there was
sweet.
Even, yeah, there was even times where like, in, you know, 1 or 2 days would come about where, you know, there was a 2 hour practice scheduled and the older guys were only even required to be out there for like half of it. Like, we got to go inside early. Those were always the days where you're like, fuck, boys, we made it. We did it. Woo! Yes! But then, like, you know, as good upperclassmen, we would just take our pads off and, like, mess around or stay around for practice. But, yeah, man, it was kind of like.
But, yeah, it's complete opposite if you're a younger guy in the program or you're not a starter. You get the shit kicked out of you.
Oh,
it's
like,
it's so brutal.
It's like spring ball. It's like very physical practices. We're hitting a lot, and the coaches are evaluating, like, okay, how are we gonna make the depth chart for the start of spring?
Yep, because essentially what's happening is it's this weird sort of out to pasture situation, Kev. I mean, regardless of if you're Kevin Ward or if you were Josie Jewell, our senior year, you got 15 guys, maybe more, who are gone, and they're all probably contributing if they're still in the program 5 years in at some level, right? So there's this situation where it's like, hey guys, see those 15 right there that are walking off the field? They've put in so much work. Okay, in 15 days after this bowl game, we don't have those guys. They're your leaders. They're the best players on this team. Who the hell is going to step up and do this? And you could feel it too, because the coaches, we would break practice almost, and we would have like a call it up positions talk. Okay, seniors, or, you know, individually, the coaches would be like, all right, Kulik, Ross, whoever, you guys are good to go. You three, you four, looking at the young guys, put the pads on. We're going to work. And then they would, I mean, you could feel the energy change. LaVar would start yelling. Coach Wallace would start yelling. It would just get intense because they were trying to hype the juice up so that these young freshmen with all the energy You know, they've been taking scout team reps, watching from the sideline all year. It was their time to shine. And it was an absolute grinder. I mean, it was a cage match, dude. And it was fun to watch. But if you were the scout team column, player, it wasn't.
You know the scout team player that needs a shout out? It's Kyle Taylor.
Yeah.
Kyle Taylor's never got a shout out on this podcast, but he is the hardest hitting scout team player possibly of all time.
There are some
bull in a china shop, man.
A pure bull in a china shop.
I mean, talk about mass hitting mass, dude. The dude is thick. Yeah, as far as examples, there's a lot of people. I mean, just go back and look at people who just made crazy strides. I mean, I would bet that if you go back and look at Josh Jackson, the season before 2017 when he came out and played like unreal, I bet if you look at his 2016 bowl prep, it was
He had a really good bowl prep. He ended up starting the Outback Bowl. Like.
Yeah, I would imagine that he balled out. I mean, just go look at any of those.
The
scenarios.
Other guy is Greg Maben, had an insane spring and a really good bowl prep 1 year, I think, and then the next year he was a starter.
Yeah,
he went from like receiver to bench warmer DB to having great spring or having great like bull prep spring ball, boom, starter, 3 year starter NFL. Insane.
A guy that sticks out to me, and it's just because I saw him play on special teams this year and he just seems to be all around the ball, is Terry Roberts. 22, I believe his number was.
Mm-hmm.
He was always, you know, one of the first down the field on the kickoff. Punts, he played unbelievably for us at Gunner this year. Had a couple huge downs and effort plays on punt team. He had a ton of tackles. I think he's a potential guy who, you know, I don't know what he looks like defensively, how he knows the playbook, you know, how well he's doing there. But with at least what I've seen on the field to this point, he's a potential candidate. I think it's a huge time for linemen because it's Iowa. It all starts up front. And, you know, that's a place where you got five guys. There's a lot of places to go and find playing time. So, you know, and there's just always random farm kids who are like, yep, it's my time to shine. They go get beefy and they make huge strides in the offseason. They end up finding some playing time. But this is the Christmas episode. And I think we started off with this. I watched the movie this past week because it was a ton of controversy. I have a feeling I know where you guys stand on this individually. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? You tell me.
Yeah. I've heard this on so many podcasts.
No, it's not. I mean, I remember the first time I watched it was like the middle of summer. And I was like, oh, that was a good movie. Yeah. And like, I remember seeing on Twitter a debate of, is this a Christmas movie? And if I had never even seen that debate, I would have never even considered.
Thank you.
In that category whatsoever.
Drake, are you on this train?
It's just stupid that it's even a question.
It shouldn't even be a question, dude. It shouldn't even be a question. Here's my theory. And I don't know how you quantify it, right? There's got to be a way to do it. But if you take the amount of Christmas-themed stuff in Die Hard out of the movie, yes, I understand that the reason that he's in the city is because he's visiting his family for Christmas. Just find another reason, okay? He's just there. In your mind, make it that he's just there to fix his family dynamic. He's just there to visit the family because he's being a good dad and husband slash ex-husband. So now you take that out of it. Now, I understand that they're in the tower. They're in the building for a Christmas party. Cool. Make it a different reason for the party. Okay. Now there's almost.
As if there's not a million parties in the city.
Right. Now, guess what? The whole movie stays the same. All right. There's no debate. Yes, there's a ho-ho-ho scene where he dresses the guy that he kills first with the sweater. He's like, now I have a machine gun. Cool. All right, they say Merry Christmas to each other. But if there's like, you know, like 3% of this movie carries a Christmas theme, the rest is just like badass, save the world, save the day from terrorists, action thriller. Like, that's what it is, okay? And we're 3 for 3 on this podcast. And so I think we just settled it. And that's that.
This is a rare occasion where you get all 3 of us to agree on something.
Yeah, this is weird. What do we do now? What do we do?
Yeah.
That's more certain than a Supreme Court position. Therefore, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
We, walk-ons, hereby decree.
If you can find three more, but like, I guess, tripolar personalities that can all find the same agreeing answer, then you're pretty good.
I hope people hate that. I hope it digs at them. Anyone, I just hope we're going to get so many responses.
I hope it's the most controversial thing we've ever said on this podcast.
Tripolar consensus.
Yeah, love it. That'd be a good name for the episode. What was it like? This is a question from the Twitter. What was it like around the holidays? We didn't get to go home, right? So let's talk about some of the stuff that we got to do in the way that the coaches made it feel more, bring that family holiday spirit feel, because to be honest, you don't get to see your families. My family's going to be doing it again this Christmas. Zach plays for the Hawks right now. And so, he won't be, even if we go to the Duke Mayo Bowl,
dude, I'm out.
Oh my God. Okay. We'll just call it the Music City Bowl then.
They're
both on the 30th, right? And so we don't get to have Christmas as a family until the new year. We have like January Christmases for the 5 years I was there. Now Zach's there. And that's the way it is for all those families. The coaches tried really hard and they understand that, like, man, we're on the end of a 4 month thing here where the guys haven't had even more than 2 days off. To go back home and hang out.
And more than an hour with their family.
Yeah, like just limited time. It's by the end of the season, it's like, holy shit, I'm ready to maybe catch a different scene here. And so there was a lot of ways. There's a lot of cool things we did. I remember we did laser tag. They bring in like activities because guess what? There's no school either, right? The whole bowl prep, there's no school. And so
there's no students.
There's nobody alone. Right. There's no one to even hang out with if you want to get outside of football. Downtown is dead. The bars are dead. Everyone's home. Like the city is dead. And so, they do activities. We scheduled, maybe my favorite was the gift exchange. We did a
player. It's always the best. The gift exchange was top shelf.
Oh my goodness. Some of the better moments as a team in that team meeting room where the Christmas gift exchange, how did it work? How did we get
some of that stuff got out of control, dude? We walked into our locker one day and we had a note card, and on the note card said who we had, and we bought a gift
it was like Super Santa. Yeah.
Yep. And then somebody stood up, boom, they received their gift, and coach would say, all right, Kluver. And you'd be like, all right, man, I had whoever. And then you would just bring that person up to the front, and you had to deal with whatever that guy got you.
Unbelievable.
And sometimes it got out of control.
Okay, what were some of the funny? I know there was a lot of like.
No, we're not going to get into that too much.
Dude, there was a couple good ones, though, that we could talk about. Like, you know, there were some guys, a lot of it turned into gag gifts, right? So not only it was so great because it was such a joy. Like, talk about Christmas joy. The spirit in that room was just true happiness and joy of like, it, part of it was embarrassing the other guys, especially if you got like a young guy who didn't talk much and he wasn't, you know, he was a good kid, like didn't open his mouth, did everything right. And then he ends up getting a and he has to accept it in front of the entire team. So you guys can blame Kevin super hard for this one, but as you can tell, I took out the exact gift in that last conversation, and I cut in right when we started to talk about more of the specific things that some of the guys got each other. It was a thing where KF told us to keep that stuff in-house. After we recorded this podcast, Kevin came back and said, hey, you might want to take that stuff out. KF kind of said, keep that on the inside. So unfortunately, we're not going to tell you exactly what we were getting each other. But as 18 to 23-year-old guys, you guys can just use your imagination on what you would get each other to make a funny situation or make for a hilarious sort of Secret Santa. So we'll go back into us at the end of that conversation, but
absolutely blame Kevin for this one. He kind of is the voice of reason and keeps us in line. But hopefully you guys still enjoy the conversation. So back to it.
Man, the whole place just busted out like, yeah, baby, yeah. Woo! Oh, my God. It brings a smile on my face now even thinking about it.
Man.
I love
those
that
were
shit.
Great times.
Oh, I miss it. The laser tag was fun. What were some of the other? We had like a team building activity one time where KF was like dancing in the middle of a circle. That was wild.
Call us on the jackhammer.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the jackhammer
and then he bounced
nuts.
Up and down and it kind of looked like he had a
it was like awkward, but like everyone was freaking out and laughing. I mean, like KF let loose. He let loose in those times. Like it's a KF that nobody on the outside has ever seen. That jackhammer KF was something. Wow. Those are some good memes. Anyway, so we're washed up and not
questions
in the program.
Or what?
Okay. So this brings us back to the Christmas theme. Favorite Christmas movie. I told you guys to think of your top three. I can give you my top three. You can debate it all you want. Elf is up there for me. It's a cheesy, nice family movie, but it's a good movie. Will Ferrell I think it's truly some of his best work. Step Brothers and Elf are two of his, and Anchorman was good too.
Anchorman 1 was just out of control.
So Elf is up there for me. I really, really, really like Home Alone, and Lauren and I, who actually asked a question on the tweet. She asked, what did I get her for Christmas? And so she don't listen to the podcast. This is going to come out on, I'm going to give her a gift. I got her a little espresso machine and,
what a gift.
Yeah. Espresso machine. And, let's see, what else did I get her? Coat. Like a coat thing. I don't know. She told me she wanted it anyway. What was I saying? Home Alone. We watched a movie last year called Noel. It was like a newer movie. And it was like, God, what was it? It was like this like little baby reindeer. I forget. Go watch Noel. It's like I think it's an animated film. And it was like really pretty good. But I think Polar Express is up there for me.
Oh,
as well.
Man, you took mine.
Polar Express, baby. That's
we've got two of the same. I don't even know what my third one is.
Well, good, because that
Polar Express.
Elf and Polar Express, baby. Those are up top. Now, there's a lot of Christmas movies. I watched Scrooge last week. That was a weird, like, Bill Murray movie. I haven't seen. I think I know where Kevin's probably going to go with this, but, like, I haven't. Bad Santa's another funny one. The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. Those are good movies. But I haven't seen, like, It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Story. Like, I haven't seen those older ones, so I know that some of the people
Jesus
listening.
Christ, man. Come on.
What? Kevin, it doesn't shock me at all that you have those that you would be the one that is pissed about that. Like you're kind of an old soul like that.
I am an old soul like that because It's a Wonderful Life is the best damn Christmas movie out there.
That's your number one?
Number one, baby.
God damn it. I'm going to have to watch it now. What's it say? On here it says it's a 1946 film. They don't even have color, dude. How is that?
Freaking classic, man. The freaking classic.
Kevin, quit holding on to the past, man. That's like saying MJ's better than LeBron.
Says
he is.
Christmas.
He's so stupid.
It says few films define Christmas like Frank Capra's 1946 fantasy starring Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey, who, on the verge of committing suicide, is visited by an angel who shows him the true importance of his life. Wow, that's deep.
No, it's an all-time classic, man. Go watch it.
All right, well, that's unfortunate that I'm going to have to schedule that in.
Let me ask you this. Is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory a Christmas-y type movie because of the spirit that it's in? He kind of gets like the ultimate prize, like what he's always wished for, and his, you know, it's in the winter.
Yeah,
because if it is, that
they say Christmas
there.
At any point in the.
I don't think it's a Christmas movie.
I was trying to stretch it like Die Hard's trying to stretch it.
Yeah, I mean Die Hard. Yeah, I love Willy Wonka though. Like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is a banger of a movie. It's actually like probably one of my all times. Here's one that's always popular: National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Where does that rank for you guys?
I like that one. I like the National Lampoon movies. Like so that's, I like the Christmas Vacation one.
That's what honestly, I thought that was going to be your number one, Kev. I didn't know you were going to go all the way back.
I don't think that's as high as Bad Santa is for me.
Bad Santa is funny as hell, dude. Bad Santa is so funny. What's the name of that actor? He's so good.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. For those sitting there going, wow, he didn't know who Billy Bob Thornton was. I don't know actors' names. I don't do movies. I'm not a movie guy. So just chill. All right. But the Bad Santa movie is really freaking good. I enjoy that. Yeah. A lot of these though, I haven't seen. Like obviously The Grinch is a great Christmas movie. I'm a big fan of the Charlie Brown Christmas. I also like the old animated Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What's the other one?
Santa Claus Coming to Town.
No, it's what's it called? Fuck, I don't know. Die Hard's on this list, and unfortunately, they got the list wrong because it's not a Christmas movie. Somehow, they have Polar Express at 29 on this list, so they can straight fuck off on that one. This is the Esquire's 59 best Christmas movies.
So Esquire can lick your nuts, huh?
Yeah. And then they,
what's that 59 and what's that number one?
It's A Wonderful Life.
Damn right it is.
They've got their top five on here is It's A Wonderful Life, Christmas Vacation. Number three is A Christmas Story. Number four, they have White Christmas. And number five, Home Alone. Number five is Home Alone. And then
I love Home Alone.
Yeah, I do too.
Those are good movies, man.
They're good, man. The Home Alone movies are really, really good. I think we resonated with those because like when we grew up, we were his age, like the kid's age. So it was like it just really hit hard for us when we saw.
Dude, I had the main character's name. I was the youngest in the family. It's like, this is me,
Kevin. Kevin, you probably thought that was going to happen. You thought Beef was going to leave you on the Christmas week and leave you in the house.
I wanted a BB gun so bad to defend my house.
Kevin set up booby traps all over his house. I don't think anybody was breaking into your place.
Yeah, you never know, man. The streets of Homer Glen, man. It's tough out there.
It's tough.
It was not tough out there at all.
It was in the streets, baby. Hey, all those burglars, you know, in that neighborhood. Do you guys remember any top gifts that you've given? I know Drake will probably have a better gifts that he's given than he's gotten because
I bought my mom a Mercedes.
What?
Yeah.
You bought your mother Mercedes.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Christmas and her birthday is January 7th and she's my mom. And so Christmas, her birthday and my mom was like a trifecta of reasons. And I had a little extra cash. I was doing really well in poker. And I also had a little extra
cash from last year?
Other places. It was 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
No, it might have been last year. It very well could have been last year. I don't really know.
Wow. I'm trying to think if I've gotten anybody. I've gotten a lot of cool gifts. Let's see.
My mom bought me a dirt bike when I was younger. Wow. And it was the coolest gift of all time.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. I think the best gift I've given, I got my brother a pair of these shoes that were like, they're not like shoes that you wear, that you wear. They're more of like, they weren't J's, but they're like J's. Like you kind of collect them, you know, like Reggie Spearman in the dorm didn't know where his J's went. Turns out they were in.
Did we tell that story?
Yeah, we told that story. Okay. But I got my brother a pair of shoes that he told. I think the best part about giving a Christmas gift is it doesn't matter the value of it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's expensive or not. It matters of how much of a surprise it is, how unexpected
and what it means to them.
And, yeah. And how unexpected it's truly the thought that counts. Right. And so if you can get somebody something that means
like a cheap, I don't think an inexpensive, but like thoughtful gift, like something that they really like.
Yes.
I think that's a much better gift than something expensive. It's like, oh, cool. I could have gotten this for myself. But yeah,
exactly. Cool. Like you catch like in freaking September, like, or in the middle of the summer, you catch like a little thing where like you hear him say, oh, I wish I had this.
Yeah.
Or I wish I'm really interested in this.
Or feel like you get them something that they don't even know existed, but yeah, like, you know, they love it.
And they're like, what? Like, they have no idea that like whatever they just got was even a possibility to have. Those are truly the best gifts. I would say recently for me, I've been getting like as an adult, like you really come out of that time as a teenager where you have like cool things that you want. And then you realize like, shit, I'm an adult now. I should really get some like functional items. So I've gotten a lot of clothes the last few years, but like that means a lot to me. Like I my entire wardrobe is basically just my birthday or Christmas. So I just build my wardrobe off of getting gifts, which is nice. What else did I get? My wife got me tickets to see Pentatonix. I don't know if you guys know who Pentatonix are, but they're an a cappella group. They're
I like tickets as presents too. I think those are good.
Like experiences. Like that's the other thing is as we grow up, as I'm realizing that like I truly don't get I mean some people do, right? Some people do like to have the nice house, the nice car, the whatever. I am completely not a material person. I love experiences, and I would actually say that knowing you two, you guys are both kind of that way as well.
No, that's what we kind of do for our parents now. Like my fucking dad goes out and buys anything he fucking wants. So
right.
Like, yeah. All right. For Father's Day, I guess we'll take you out golfing and to a nice lunch and something like that.
Exactly.
Like, what are we supposed to get you, old man?
Yeah, it's like how do you get? It's the old question of what do you get someone who has everything? And experiences, man, those are cool. And so my wife, we ended up not being able to go to the concert because we had something come up or like it got canceled or something. But it was, I got the gift and I was like, holy shit, this is sick. I'm pumped.
You were pumped?
Dude, Pentatonix, man, since they became a thing, if you guys don't know who they are, they're an a cappella group. Search Pentatonix, Pentatonix on YouTube, and you will just go watch. Actually, they have an incredible Christmas album. Go search Mary Did You Know Pentatonix. It will, I mean, it might bring you to tears. It's that good.
It's some great noise in your ears, man.
Oh man, it's beautiful. What was the other thing?
Speaking of, let's go to favorite Christmas songs.
That's I was gonna bring that one up as well. Favorite Christmas songs. So I actually really, you know what I've been digging? It's not an oldie, it's a new one, but Lauren and I we've been watching The Voice. With The Voice just finished up. Blake Shelton and Gwen, they have a new Christmas song that's "You Make It Feel Like Christmas," and it's kind of a banger, dude. Like it kind of bangs. It's definitely not like a classic, like what you would hear, but
Hey, how about Blake Shelton's lineup of ladies that he's had, you know, luxury.
He goes, he's got, you know, same kind of idea there with the jersey chasing. God, I can't believe we blasted Josie like that. What an incredible segment. Christmas songs, man. I would say, you know, back to Pentatonix, they have, if you search Mary Did You Know or Little Drummer Boy, those are two really fucking good songs. What are you laughing at?
So do you want to like watch film and help me take notes?
Hey, if you come back to Decor with me, we could go tubing on the river.
I got 10 points due for Wallace in the morning. Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
I have to come up with three questions for the younger guys to answer.
Okay,
Kevin, what's your favorite Christmas song?
I don't know. I think the best album out there is Josh Groban's. I think he's got the best album out there.
Damn, I haven't listened to that.
I like. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Trans Siberian Orchestra.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I've heard of that. Is that a Christmas album?
It's they just or have
they're a group.
Yeah, they have Christmas stuff, and they're an orchestra group. Look up Trans-Siberian Orchestra if you've never heard them.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna get real. I'm gonna get real. I'm gonna get real. GQ on you here. I'm gonna go. This one's good. This one's really good. Justin Bieber. What is the name of the song? Is hold on a second. I'm gonna find it. Justin Bieber. Mistletoe. Yep. Let's play a little bit of it. Let's get DMCA'd like everybody on Twitch. Mistletoe. This is an absolute banger. 416 million listens and views on YouTube. Let's just listen.
That's some pretty good monetization.
Yeah, that's decent. When he gets to the three wise men, we're not going to listen to the whole thing, but this thing. Oh. It's the most beautiful time of this is classic Biebs. He was like 14. So playing in the winter snow. But I'ma be under the mistletoe. Oh my god. I mean, how smooth is that voice, baby? Come on. Mistletoe by Jay Biebs?
Clover, I'm disappointed.
Getting a little homosexual, and that's okay. That's okay, my guy. It's 2020. I could be how I want. And I like Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. Okay? Is that where we end this? Can we talk about something else now?
No, we're just going to let you bathe in that for a little bit.
Okay, but how about this one, Mariah Carey?
Yes.
All I Want for Christmas is You?
Mariah Carey.
Dude.
No, because that is the most overplayed song of Christmas.
But
you can't walk into a store without hearing that played.
Right, but it's overplayed for a reason.
But it's almost like it is Christmas. Like, that song is Christmas, dude. Like,
and it's Mariah Carey.
It is, yeah. I don't know. All nothing else really.
Christmas is Mariah Carey, yeah, or true. Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, how do they age so well? It's crazy what like Hollywood will do for you. Any other things? What is your preferred drink of choice during the holidays? I don't mind eggnog, actually.
Eggnog is delicious.
I like a little eggnog. Got some in the fridge. We actually had some friends over last night for a little Christmas-ish party. They left a little eggnog, so maybe I'll drink on that today.
Tell you what, dude, there's a health shop in Phoenix, and they make a peppermint bark protein shake smoothie.
Wow.
That's 230 calories with like 25 grams of protein or something.
Damn.
It is out of this world. It
slaps, huh?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That sounds insane. Wow. Oh, there you have it. Tell us your favorite Christmas tradition on Twitter. Tweet us at @washedupwalkons. What's your favorite Christmas tradition? We want to spread the holiday spirit. And by the way, thanks to the Walk-On Army over the past year, the washed up walk-ons in conjunction with really Walk-On Army were able to donate $5,000 to the UI Children's Hospital this winter and this Christmas season. We made that donation last week, which is absolutely incredible. A
Christmas presents for all the kids.
Christmas presents for all the kids in the hospital. A benefit to this podcast that we would have probably never had in mind when we started this thing. And I realize that people donate more than that all the time. Like $5,000 isn't an insane amount, but that's a lot of money. And that, you know, any amount goes a long way. And so if you've purchased merch, we're going to try and do way better next year. And so if you've purchased merch, if you're for those that haven't subscribed to the Patreon, that's what some of the money goes to. Patreon, merchandise, and just those who consistently listen to this show, you guys are all contributing to stuff like that. So that was really cool to be able to do that. It feels really good to be able to give back. And from us three, who all agree that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, we hope you have a fantastic holiday season. We will be back to, I guess if the Hawks play next Wednesday, we'll be previewing that game
on next Monday. So we'll see you then. Thanks for joining us for 173 or four. I don't know.
This is four.
Four, I guess, on this episode. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
KF. Ho, ho, ho. Merry fucking Christmas.
Run it again.
Happy holidays. See you later. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.